Will you please turn to 1 Timothy? First Timothy chapter 4. We will read from verse 8 through verse 10. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 through 10. Exercise thyself unto piety. I would like to use the word godliness. Exercise thyself unto godliness. For bodily exercise is profitable for a little, but godliness is profitable for everything, having promise of life, of the present one, and of that to come. The word is faithful and worthy of all acceptation. For this we labor and suffer reproach, because we hope in the living God, who is preserver of all men, especially of those that believe. May we have a short word of prayer. Dear Lord, we want to thank Thee for giving us this opportunity of gathering together in Thy name. We thank Thee for promising us where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. Lord, we treasure more than anything else Thy presence with us. We commit this time into Your hand and pray that I, by Thy Spirit, will open our understanding and bring us into the very center of Thy will. Bless this time, glorify Your name, in Thy precious name. Amen. Thank God for giving me this opportunity of seeing you all and fellowshipping with all of you. The topic that was given to me was cultivating intimacy with the Lord Jesus. I believe, brothers and sisters, everyone who is of the Lord will desire to cultivate such intimacy with the Lord Jesus. Suppose you are drowned and somebody rescue you. Will it be natural for you to know more of that person? And certainly our Lord Jesus, who has saved us with such marvelous salvation. I believe, brothers and sisters, in every one of us, there is a desire to know Him more, to cultivate more intimate relationships with Him. After you are saved, probably you will be told, in order to increase your relationship with Christ, you need to read the Bible, or you need to pray All you need to attend church meetings, and so on and so forth. We have been instructed in many ways how we can cultivate our relationship with the Lord. But brothers and sisters, all of these instructions are good, but these are something outward. Actually, if we want to cultivate relationship with the Lord, it has to be inward, because God is spirit, and we cannot worship Him outwardly. I remember many years ago when the Russian cosmonaut went to the space. He came back and declared that there was no God. Why? Because he says, I have been to outer space. I look around and I did not see God. Therefore, there is no God. Brothers and sisters, isn't that nonsense? Because God is spirit. You cannot see God with your naked eyes. If you want to see Him, you have to see Him in your spirit. So, brothers and sisters, the inward way is the way of cultivating our relationship with the Lord Jesus. In other words, we need to exercise our spirit. I notice that people in this country, especially in recent years, pay much attention to physical exercise. Everywhere I went, I saw there were exercise rooms. But the Bible tells us bodily exercise is profitable, but its profit is for a little. If we do not exercise our body, even though we have good food, we have good rest, and yet you find that our body will not be healthy. We need physical exercise, especially young people today. They sit before the TV or sit before a machine and neglect exercising. Young people need physical exercise. This is profitable. But the Bible says it is just for a little. Why? Because there is another exercise which will give us so much greater profit. So in comparison with that, physical exercise profits but a little. And what is that exercise? It is the exercise of our spirit. Brothers and sisters, when God created us, He created us according to His image, after His likeness. This was something He never did before. Why? Because God wanted man to commune with Him. And He being a spirit, when He created us with a spirit. I do not know what your theology may be, but anyway you find, when God created us, He created us not with only with a body. The Bible tells us how he used the red earth to build the body of man. And then he breathes his breath into the nostril of that man. And man became a living soul. But in the Chinese Bible, it is said, man became a living soul with a spirit. In other words, when God's breath came into human body, it becomes the spirit of that person. But when the spirit and the body are in action, interaction, you become a living soul. Why is it that God created us with a spirit? It is because he wants to commune with us. But unfortunately, because of sin, you remember the Lord said, there is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that you should never eat. Why? Because if you did, you will die. Unfortunately, our forefathers, they ate that forbidden tree. But did they die immediately? No. They lived hundreds of years afterwards. So far as their body was concerned, their body continued on for hundreds of years. How about their soul? We find instead of losing their soul, they gain their soul because they ate the knowledge tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He gave them knowledge. But what did it die on the day that they ate? It was the spirit. After they ate the forbidden tree, their spirit was dead. Now that doesn't mean because the spirit was there, that organ spirit is no longer there. The spirit as an organ is still there, but it has lost its proper function. Because scientifically speaking, what is death? Death is the cessation of communication with its proper environment. The proper environment of the spirit is God, who is spirit. So when you lose contact with God, the spirit was proclaimed as dead. But the spirit as an organ is still there. Now how do we know? Because even though you cannot contact God, you still can contact evil spirit. That shows the spirit is still there, but it has lost its right use. It has lost its proper use. So what is salvation? Salvation is, as we find in John chapter 3, he that is born of the Spirit is Spirit. The first Spirit is the Holy Spirit. The second mentioning of the Spirit is human spirit. In other words, when you believe in the Lord Jesus, your dead spirit becomes alive unto God. Brothers and sisters, I was brought up in a Christian family. My father loved the Lord. He was a pastor. And he had 7 children. We had family altar every evening. Before supper, he would gather us children together into the living room. He would read the Bible to us, and we will all kneel down, and he will lead us in prayer. From my youth, as I grew up, I believe in the Bible as the Word of God, but it is only mental. I pray, but only as a habit. I had no contact with God. As a matter of fact, I felt that I did not need Jesus. I believe in Jesus as Savior, but I said I don't need Him because I'm too good. As a student, how bad can you be? Comparing with the world, you are so much better. So I thought, let Christ save these people in the world. But I do not need Him. That was my attitude. Even though I prayed, I read the Bible, I could tell Bible story, yet I did not know Him. But brothers and sisters, until one day, when the Lord really saved me, such a difference. As I pray, I was talking to my Heavenly Father. As I read the Bible, I was reading His letter to me. My whole life was transformed. So, brothers and sisters, after we believe in the Lord Jesus, we have a new spirit. As Ezekiel chapter 36 said, God will give us a new spirit. And in that new spirit, Christ Jesus came in and be its life. So every believer has Christ in him or in her. But where? In your body? No. In your soul? No. It is in your spirit. So in our spirit, we have Christ dwelling there as our life, the life of the Spirit. But brothers and sisters, do you know that when you are saved, there is so much more God has done to you? Not only you have a new spirit. Not only Christ came into your heart and lived in your spirit as its life, but even the Spirit of God also came in and dwell in your spirit. What is it that God made such provision for you? You have a new spirit. You have Christ Jesus as the life of your spirit. What else do you need? But God even put His own spirit into your spirit. For what purpose? The purpose is the indwelt Holy Spirit is to see that the life of Christ will grow in you. That is His work. The Spirit never speaks of Himself. He only speaks of Christ. And His errand in our spirit is to help you to grow in Christ Jesus until we come into maturity in Christ Jesus. So you see, God has made every provision for us to grow. But there is one thing that is needed, and that is you need spiritual exercise. I wonder, brothers and sisters, if you know what spiritual exercise is. You know how to exercise your body. You know how to exercise your soul. Why? Because you go to school and study. You use your brain. You exercise your brain. That's exercising your spirit, soul. But do you know how to exercise your spirit? Or are you exercising your spirit in your spiritual life? Brothers and sisters, remember this. Spiritual growth is not an outward thing. Even though you may grow outwardly in spiritual knowledge, you read a lot, you heard a lot, you know a lot, but that does not mean that your spiritual life is growing. Only when the life of Christ in you is growing in you, then there is spiritual growth. So the Bible tells us, bodily exercise profits for a little, but spiritual exercise, exercise unto godliness, to be like God, is profitable not only for now, but for the time to come. So you see how important is spiritual exercise. I believe, brothers and sisters, whether you know this or not, unconsciously, you have been doing that in your lifetime. The problem is you do not concentrate on it and do not emphasize it and let it die out. So my burden this evening is spiritual exercise. God has made all the provision for you to exercise your spirit. Everything is ready. The only thing is now exercising. Now you will say, how do I exercise my spirit? I know how to exercise my body because I can see it. I know how to exercise my soul because I can use my mind. But how do I exercise my spirit? Now, of course, there is some fundamental principles we need to know. And that is, as you read the Bible, you will find our spirit has three main functions. You know, when you cannot see a thing, how do you know it is there? For instance, we cannot see electricity. But how do we know there is electricity? Well, there is light here. There is warm there. There is power in the locomotive. And all these tells us electricity is real. Now how do we know that we have a spirit? We know we have a spirit, a new spirit, because of its functions. By noticing its functions, we know what they are. So when you read the Bible, the three main functions of our spirits, as you find in the Bible, or conscience, intuition, and communion. Conscience is one of the most active and easily understood functions. We often tell people who do not know the Lord, do not depend upon your conscience. You know, people who do not know the Lord say, I do everything according to my conscience. A robber will say, I do everything according to my conscience. Why? Because the conscience has lost its proper environment. When the conscience loses God, that conscience has no standard. So the so-called conscience today is according to the custom of the place where you are. For instance, in the old days, when someone in Africa ate a person, his conscience wouldn't bother him. Instead of that, it's a worthy thing. It is a good thing. But in this country, if you kill a man and eat him, now that will be something very bad. And your conscience will really bother you. So you find the conscience to the world is according to the environment you are in. There is no absolute standard. It's undependable. But brothers and sisters, after we have believed in the Lord Jesus, conscience becomes a very important way of life. You remember the Apostle Paul? Again and again he testified. He said, I do everything not to offend my conscience before God and man. So he lived by his conscience. Why? Because his conscience was in contact with God. So oftentimes you find God revealed his mind. He reveals his will to us through our conscience. Brothers and sisters, after you believe in the Lord Jesus, you have a conscience without offense. You have a conscience that will tell you what God likes, what He does not like. For instance, suppose you were very talkative before you believed in the Lord Jesus. Suppose you like to exaggerate, and whenever you can exaggerate, you feel good about it. Now, after you are saved, suppose you try to do the same thing. What will happen? When you are boasting, when you are exaggerating, there is a still small voice within your conscience telling you, that's enough. It is like driving a car, and the check is there. But because you're talking and you're very happy, so you neglect that inner voice and continue to talk. But what will be the result? Before you were saved, the result was you felt good about it. But after you are saved, if you exaggerated things, you find that you cannot pray. You have to go to God and ask for God's pardon before your fellowship with God could be restored. That's the way that God would teach us through our conscience. So, brothers and sisters, it is very important that after we are saved, we need to keep a conscience without offense before God and man. If we do anything and our conscience begins to speak against it, the way to do is to listen to the voice of our conscience. Repent. Ask the Lord's forgiveness. So your fellowship with God will be recovered and your prayer will be answered. You know, very often, we find that God usually deals with us so tenderly. He will not deal with us drastically, because He knows our frame, that we are not able to bear with it. You know, when Satan accuses you, he always comes in as a whirlwind. He is trying to oppress you, to make you feel almost impossible. But not, that is not the way of the Spirit of God. He is like a dove. He comes in very gently, but persistently. You won't listen, but he will say again. You will listen, but he will continue again. He will not let you go until finally you listen. That is the way the Spirit of God is working in each one of us. He is to deliver you out of yourselves and to allow the life of Christ in you to gradually grow up in you. And you find that he usually will begin with very small things. He will not come in and deal with you at once with tremendous big things that you cannot really able to deal with. He will come in and deal with you in very small things. Usually, maybe in the habits of our life. Suppose you like to sleep late. And because you sleep late, you have no time for God. You say, thank you God and goodbye. Brothers and sisters, so I remember one sister who is a co-worker of Miss Barbara that helped wash my knee so much. I know her. And she said, the battle of a believer is between him and his bed. And how true that is. You know, because you want to sleep late, you're not able to commune with God. And that will affect your whole day, your life. Small things. And when the Spirit is speaking to you, we better listen. And He will begin with small things, and gradually He will touch even your mind, what you are thinking. Not only what you are doing, but what you are thinking. And He will deal with your life until your life grows in Christ Jesus. So He will deal with your conscience. It is important that we exercise our conscience. And then we find our spirit has another function, and that is intuition. By intuition, it means direct knowledge. You know, the knowledge that we accumulate are indirect. Why? Because we gather from outside. All these learnings, all these teachings, we gather from outside and store in our brain and becomes our learning. But when the Holy Spirit works in us, He deals directly in our intuition. He impresses us with His thought. That's why you find in Hebrews chapter 8, it says, you do not need anyone to teach you. Love the Lord. Because everyone, from the littlest one to the greatest one, they know me in themselves. There is an intuitive knowledge. The Holy Spirit will speak directly to our intuition and tells us what the will of God is. You know, many young brothers and sisters came to me and asked me, how do I know God's will? And I asked them, how? Oh, they said, probably we need to spend more time in prayer. Oh, we need to study the Bible more carefully. And so forth. But the Bible tells us, you have the unction within you. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, you have the unction, the anointing within you. You do not need anyone to teach you. But the unction, the anointing within you, will teach you in all things, small things, great things. And whatever He teaches is true. And if you listen to the teaching of the anointing, you abide in Christ. I think a problem with many young people is, how can I abide in Christ? Very easy. Because the Holy Spirit is helping you to abide in Christ. Whenever you are doing anything or going anywhere, you find the Holy Spirit as the anointing within you. Now, why the anointing? Because the Holy Spirit is like an ointment. When He applies, He is applied upon your intuition. It is very soft, very soothing, never oppressive, but continuous. So, the anointing within you will teach you in all things. Oftentimes, when we are meeting with small things, we say, well, we can do it. We know what to do. But only big things, great things, we have to pray. Because we are not sure of ourselves. But brothers and sisters, God has made every provision for us, even in little things, in big things. He has made provision for us in His Spirit. His indwelling Spirit never fails to teach us. He is always there to tell us what is of God, what is not of God. Only if we can listen The problem is we have so many noises around us that we cannot listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit teaches us, not only in big things, but also in small things, and whatever He teaches, if we listen and obey, the result is we abide in Christ. We stay put in Christ. We continue in Christ. We live in Christ, and we grow in Christ. So that's intuition. And then, of course, the third function of our spirit is communion. You remember our Lord Jesus in John chapter 4, when He was talking with that woman that came to the well for the water? The Lord said, "You worship God not in Mount Gerizim, nor in Jerusalem, but you worship God in spirit and in truth." In other words, how do we worship God? We worship God in spirit and in truth. I remember many years ago when I was in the Philippines. Once I was visiting an island called, and the Gada. And when I was on that island, I saw a church building. So I went in to look at that church building. And when I looked, I saw at the front, near the altar, a few white figures kneeling there. And when I approached closer, I saw they are not figures. They are living nuns. A few nuns in white. They were kneeling by the altars, not moving at all. And my first impression was how pious they are. Then my second impression was, is this piety? Is this godliness? If it's not from within their hearts, if it's only an outward gesture, it is not worship. If it's real worship, it has to come from our spirit. Brothers and sisters, we worship Him from our spirit. Of course, it may overflow even to our body. As you find in the Bible, how people offer prostrate before God. It touches their body. But merely by prostrating does not mean you are worshiping God. It depends upon your spirit, whether your spirit is really in worship with God. So, dear brothers and sisters, in these three different areas, daily, we are learning. The way we grow in Christ Jesus is a daily matter. It is not just attending a conference, then you grow. So you have to have another conference in order to have another growth. But brothers and sisters, the important thing is a daily thing. We need daily exercising our spirit. And that will cultivate our intimacy with Jesus Christ. And this is the only way that is real and living. Aside from that, anything that is just outward, brothers and sisters, it will soon pass away. But only when the Spirit of God within us is working in us and enable us to be in real touch with Him. And that is the time that we really grow in our spiritual life. So this evening I have only this to share with your brothers and sisters, and hopefully we will grow in this inward way of life. And I believe if you start to do it, you will find there's real spiritual progress in your life. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we lay this inward way of life before the brothers and sisters. We believe that Thou hast taught us that this is the way. Walk ye in it. So we do pray, Lord, that brothers and sisters here will really grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus through this inward way, that in our conscience we may learn to keep a conscience without offense before God and man, that in our intuition we may learn to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and in our communion we may begin with our spirit, that it may overflow to our whole being. Lord, do hear our prayer and lead us in this way of life. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen.